I want to be very clear. We can prove that every federal government from Mr. Mulroney to Mr. Trudeau have been compromised by agents of the communist China. Every government were informed at one point or another. Every government choose to ignore CISA's warning either by negligence, self-interest, or partisanship. Every government were infiltrated by agent of influence acting on behalf of the Chinese government, and we knew who they were.
And far worse, we've covered it up every single time. I'm Frank Vaughn. It is January 25th, 2025, and that individual's name was Michel Junot Katsuya. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. He was CSIS, which is, for my American audience, the Canadian Security and Intelligence Service. He was the chief of our Asia-Pacific unit. And just a couple quotes to remind you of what you just seen. Every federal government from Mr. Mulroney to Mr. Trudeau has been compromised by agents of communist China that spans 40-plus years. Every government was informed at one point or another. Every government chose to ignore CSIS's warnings, covering it up, burying the Hague Report for 100 years. This has been a decades-long issue across all parties and society. And why am I talking about this today? Let's go over to Donald Trump's Truth Social so we can get the scuttlebutt. Donald J. Trump, truthed. The last thing the world needs is to have China take over Canada, Donald. It's too late, my friend. We have been overrun. Police stations on our soil, kidnapping our citizens, encouraging Chinese-aligned MPs running for the Liberal Party of Canada, encouraging the kidnapping of their political opponents and the handing over of them to the Chinese embassy for a cash reward. And instead of going to jail, that person just gets disappeared from the political process. We have criminal organizations creating something called the Vancouver model. World renowned, will be studied for decades. The money laundering that happened in Canada that benefited Chinese linked criminal organizations. They buy our politicians. They buy our bureaucracy. They have police stations operating on our soil unofficially. We helped them in 2021 train for Arctic warfare. And now, as we can see, China's ambassador is saying the quiet part out loud. Now, I am combining the sum of the ambassador's statements to make something that is tweet length, but China's ambassador to Canada says China sees eye to eye with Canada in regards to Greenland and in regards to the North. And I don't recall China having any Arctic claims. They're not an Arctic bordering nation. This is a Russian, American, Canadian, and a little bit European pond. That's what the Arctic Ocean is. Is Carney going to give our greatest strategic rival, his words, a roll up north? I'm not even kidding you at this stage. It would not surprise me if this Liberal government offered military access or military basing rights sometime in the next 5 to 10 years. Donald, Mr. Trump, Mr. President, Canada is already taken over by the CCP. They buy our land. They have a huge fingerprint in our resource economy. We ship them the nickel that builds the Navy, which America, God forfend, might one day have to try and sink. We mine our gold. Our central bank doesn't keep any of it. The government doesn't keep any of it. We have no silver. We have no gold. We have no stockpiles whatsoever. But we have it under the ground, and we pull it out of the ground. 70% of our gold that we mine goes to China to underpin the coming international settlement currency that is being rolled out under BRICS. You know, I don't know who Carney serves. I really don't. I've speculated for a week and a half. His money's in the United States. Look, I can take you back on a history lesson. This is a digression, but we're going to do it anyway. The year is 1998. The Russian Federation is in a state of collapse. The economy is in shambles. And state assets are being sold for pennies on the dollar. And you know who is there? Mark Carney, as part of Goldman Sachs, went in. And in Goldman lore, he is known as one of the guys that overseen the looting of the Russian Federation. Now, Putin came along. Putin got rid of that class of oligarchs. And over the last couple decades, The de-Westernization of Russia has been taking place slowly over time, undoing the damage that was done. But at the time, and under the political class, and under the leadership at the time, and under U.S. banks, Mark Carney's loyalty was to Goldman Sachs, an American institution. Brookfield moved its headquarters to the United States and makes its money and has the lion's share of its investments in the United States. His personal value, his personal wealth, parked in the United States. Where did he build his life? Not in Canada. I don't understand. The liberal base, these leftists, generally speaking, they absolutely hate rich people, but they're embracing this guy who ran two central banks. Hell of a resume. Now, where are Carney's loyalties? Generally speaking, people are loyal to their bag. They're loyal to their money. No Bitcoiner with a big fat bag of Bitcoiner wants to hear the bad news about Bitcoin. They just want to hear the good news. And I'm not saying it one way or another. I'm just saying people don't generally work against the value of their bag. But if Carney is working for anybody, if he's trying to set up an alternative, if the public optics actually reflect the mission of this man, Canadians should be quaking in their boots. To make us a vassal of the BRICS nations? To make us a vassal of China as an alternative? You know, another thing I said today, I have no idea. Hang on a sec. Our country, Canada, what is left of it, bends over backwards to aggravate the United States. We're corrupt, overrun by Chinese criminal and political influence, and we build our politics around arrogant hubris. And then when America responds, we play victim. I hate what we've become, and I do. We are weak. We have no military that we can stand on or behind. I feel so sorry for the men and women who do serve in our military, how underserved they are. We got hundreds of billions of dollars to build gay rainbow monuments in Ottawa. We got hundreds of billions of dollars to send overseas to Nigeria. We've got corruption at Global Affairs Canada, unlike anything you can possibly imagine. It's probably worse than USAID. And we don't have enough money to even keep our small military fully equipped and deployable. We have a very small military. It's only 50% deployable. And it only has about 2 weeks worth of supplies before it completely runs out. And then, you know, I was talking to a service member going back and forth a little bit, and the amount of paperwork and bureaucracy you have to go through just to get some ammo is ridiculous. We're kind of a meme. And all this saber rattling we're doing and talking about independence, and we invite disaster. And then when disaster strikes, we play victim. And I hate it. It is cowardly. It is lowly. It's not who I am. And I could give a damn if I'm the only Canadian. And I know I'm not. There's millions of us, particularly in the West, who feel the same way that I do, that there should be there's a strength behind this weakness. There's a repression of everybody strong. There's a repression of our national identity. These guys, these characters, is it on screen? Do I have it on screen? These characters in the Liberal Party, when the Freedom Convoy was going on in February 2022 because people didn't want to partake in a medical experiment, they wanted to be able to move around. We were all locked down because of a cold that was highly survivable for almost everybody that got it. I knew somebody, God rest his soul because he's gone now, but he was in his late 70s, stuck in a wheelchair, morbidly obese, borderline diabetic, in absolutely terrible physical condition, got COVID and survived no problem. Okay? This was a highly survivable cold. Comorbidities got people. The combo, at any rate, the Freedom Convoy came together and said, enough's enough. Peaceful assembly in Ottawa was loud, but it was peaceful. Crime disappeared from the downtown. There was no vandalism. There was no graffiti everywhere. Just people playing hockey outside the Department of Justice. Some hay bales. And a dance party. It was, you know, I was in the preparatory phase of moving to Saskatchewan while it was happening. And I was in a bad physical place. And all I wanted to do was drop everything, drop all my responsibilities, and get there. But I couldn't. And I'll tell you, when I seen the live streams of people having dance parties in the streets, I'll admit it, I wept. because that had disappeared. Happiness had disappeared. Human contact had disappeared. It was the most noble thing that ever happened under a Canadian flag in the history of this country. And it was demeaned. It was attacked. There's people still being prosecuted today. The government suspended charter rights and have been found to have wrongly done so, and nobody will ever face accountability for it. It's the equivalent of the Americans suspending the Constitution and then being found to have wrongly done so, and everybody getting away scot-free and there being no accountability. That was the one genuine, beautiful movement that came together under the Maple Leaf. One of the few times I can actually be proud of that flag, because I'll tell you, we didn't fight the Second World War under that flag, did you know? We didn't fight the Korean War under that flag. Our flag was replaced. The nation itself was replaced in 1982. And since 1982, we have been commie cucks to the Chinese to one degree or another. And Canadians have this idea that it was the Americans that held us down. It's always been Ottawa. It's always been Ottawa that's made the decisions. It's always been the Laurentians. It's always been the Quebecois. It's always been the east of this country who have held everyone back while harvesting the wealth and redistributing around the country in the socialist nightmare that we live in. The one time we had a genuine people-driven movement, it was demeaned. The flag was declared a symbol of hate speech. People draped Canadian flags on the Terry Fox Monument in Ottawa, and the media was a full-court press of outrage. Fast forward a couple years later, and they were putting Hamas flags and Palestinian flags on that same monument, and there was zero outrage. They attacked the fundamental core of this country as if they haven't been attacking it this entire time. When Trudeau called us a post-national state, when he said we were a country that had no core identity. Additionally, when he said he admired the basic Chinese dictatorship because they can do whatever they want with no accountability. That's the pipe dream of these people. There were people pulled over in this country by the police because they were flying Canadian flags from the back windows of their trucks. Having a Canadian flag was a reason to be suspicious. And then you fast forward to now, and all of a sudden these guys, they want to drape themselves in it. They all of a sudden want to awaken this nationalism, and they want to pretend that Canada's strong and Canada's free and Canada's all these things. They sold us out. They've been selling us out for decades. And I don't understand, and I can't wrap my head around how the liberal base and how the left in this country, how these lemmings, all of a sudden they are awakening their nationalist pride, and they're going to lecture me and they're going to lecture people like me when they stood idly by and said nothing. You know, the one comment I hear all the time is, Frank, you had nothing to, this is from liberals, you had nothing to say when Harper signed the Foreign Investment Protection Act with China. They're wrong. I did. I recognize that Harper was fundamentally undermining the strength of this nation. When Maxime Bernier, the headline on screen, Canada has no intent of pursuing free trade deal with China, says PM after Trump threat. In 2018, 2017, and into 2019, when Bernier was being critical of Justin Trudeau for not getting a free trade deal done with China, I was so upset about it. I've been remarkably consistent on this file. Getting into bed with China is just a terrible idea. Anyway, this is Carney. We won't put all our eggs in one basket. And finally, Trump is starting to call him governor. I'm actually glad to see that come back. If Governor Carney thinks he's going to make Canada a drop-off port for China to send goods and products into the United States, he is sorely mistaken. The wording of this is another reason why I still am open to the idea that Carney is managing us into the hands of the United States, that there's some kind of deal, there's something going on that I can't see. Because the United States, the Trump administration, their intelligence community, I've read the reports. They know how bad things are here with China. They know it. They know we're overrun. They know about the police stations. They know about all the things that I've highlighted. And he's talking about it being a trade problem. I don't think it's just a trade problem, folks. It's a sovereignty problem. It's a geopolitical threat problem. Canada cannot be a vassal on the U.S. northern border if the United States intends to secure North America against China, Russia, Europe, the machinations of the old world, against all threats, foreign and domestic. You cannot have a communist vassal, criminally overrun state, on the northern border. It's impossible. My point is that we are so far past this point. It's not a matter of future. Canada's already captured. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. There's only one game in town, the United States. And you can call me a traitor for putting up this flag, and you can call me a traitor for wanting to embrace reality. You can call me a traitor for refusing to ignore the geopolitical reality of our relationship via proximity to the United States. These are not our enemies. They are our long-term partners. And I got to tell you, we'd be much better off today. That is my genuine belief. We'd be much better off today if we went with them during the Revolutionary War and we didn't stick with the crown. We have a king, people. You want to talk about democracy? You want to talk about tyranny? We have a king. We have an appointed government we don't elect. We elect parliament, but they rubber stamp government in place, and they can send parliament home. They can send parliament home for years and continue to run this country just fine. Create regulations, suspend regulations through the governor general's pen. You think the monarchy is symbolic? It is not. The structure is here. It's terrible for the people. Your charter rights, your God-given human rights, they're not God-given. That was stolen from you in 1982. Now, their government-given rights, so-called rights, that can be suspended on a whim. And you know what? They didn't even give you fake property rights. All of us are living on borrowed land. 89% of Canada is officially crown land. But the government can expropriate it from underneath you. And it's not just your land, it's your property. With a stroke of a pen through the governor general's office, with an order in council, they can ban legal, lawfully held firearms at a whim. And there's very little we can do. We go to the courts. And the courts do not generate relief. We have one more step to go. And I have very little faith that that step will work, because at the end of the day, we don't have even fake property rights. I'm a realist. There's only one game in town. I love the Americans. I love the spirit of the Republic. I love the Constitution. Doing a side-by-side comparison between the Canadian Constitution and system and the Republic, you have a much better chance under the Constitution than you do under the Charter of actually hanging on to your human rights. Remember, the Americans didn't lock everybody down. Some states did some things, but there was variety. Florida kept on ticking along, and they didn't all die. The proof is in the pudding, folks. And I'll tell you something else. When I see things like this...
Time for you to leave.
Okay, it is. It's not just time for Alberta to leave. It's time for Saskatchewan to leave. Premier Moe, Premier Smith, read the tea leaves, man. It's Ottawa that's always been in the way of prosperity. It's Ottawa that's always opposed. It's Ottawa that sold us out, not the Americans. They're not the enemy. It's not Washington. Even if you look, I had a debate back in 2019 when I ran federally. There was a fella who was actually just supposed to be interviewing me fairly. This was in Coburg on some public broadcast nonsense. And instead of interviewing fairly, he wanted to debate because he's an uncompromising liberal. That's the problem with the East. There's so many of them. And he said to me, well, what about the Koch brothers? And he tried to blame the United States for restricting everything. Everything in their minds is the fault of the Americans. And so he was trying to blame the Koch brothers for holding back Alberta oil. And at the end of the day, who made the decisions? Our nation wasn't governed from Washington. Our nation was governed from Ottawa. And we have bent it to the will of foreign powers. We have deindustrialized. Manufacturing used to be 30% of the Ontario economy. Now it's less than 10. It's not going to get any better. We're indebted. We're borrowed up to our butt. Our vaunted social programs that we blaze to the world about our Canadian healthcare just leaves people to die, or offers them self-deletion services via the government's MAID program. And then we harvest the organs, and there's actually economic studies. I've been meaning to get around to the economic studies of just how much money is made through MAID, or at least the potential market for organs. It's absolutely insane. And I want no part of it. And I don't care how many times someone calls me a traitor. I don't care how many times they yell and they scream and they bitch and they moan. You know something? They're ignorant. Most of the people in Canada are completely ignorant. They support the people who have sold them down the river. And I'm going to tell the truth till the day I die. I'm Frank Vaughn. If you like the work, please consider supporting it on the website. I'll see you in the next one.